Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning is the gospel just read, taken from St. Luke chapter 7, the raising of the widow of Nain's son. In this story, we have the clash of two parades, probably a traffic officer's worst nightmare. On the one hand, we have the parade of life. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the healer of the sick, the raiser of the dead, who is going from town to town, and he is now on his way to the little city of Nain. And the text says a large crowd follows him. The parade of joy. What is Jesus going to do next? You can imagine the picture. The faithful, the scoffers, the looky-loos who just wanted to know what was going to happen next. They were all there with our Lord. And then you have a very different kind of parade. A procession. Procession of mourning. Leaving the city of Nain, you find a widow who is on her way out of town to bury her only son. And with his death and burial, her own life seems to be near an end as well. And a large crowd followed her. What was she going to do? How was she going to live? This death messed everything up for her and for so many others. How was she going to go forward? Death, of course, raises this question for each one of us at one time or another. What is going to happen when I die? What is going to happen when they die, whoever they might be? It's going to change everything. It's going to mess up all of the things that I have in my head, the plans, the thoughts, the hopes, the dreams. This death seems to ruin it all. What is going to happen? And so these two parades collide with one another. It was a strange and dreadful strife when death and life contended, as the hymn put it. Death meets the Lord of life in the middle of the road. Now, it may have been easy for our Lord, I guess, to go another way, to direct things differently. Can you imagine what it is like? I'm guessing that many of you can, when you meet someone who is grieving over the death of someone they love. On the one hand, you feel great sympathy for them, knowing what they suffer. But on the other hand, there is an intense desire to avoid the situation, to run away from it. And so, very often, in fear, we kind of, we figure out what are the polite words to say, and we move on. It's too close. It's too close for us, it's too close for them, and I don't know what to do. So, I guess we could understand it if our Lord were to do that, but of course, he is the Lord of life. He is not the Lord of fear. And so rather than doing the polite thing, rather than doing the fearful thing, rather than moving out of the way so that their grief could continue its regular path, life stops right in front of death, parks right there, goes right up to the bier, this coffin that was probably carried on a couple poles. The pallbearers really had work to do at that time. And he comes right up to the bier, and you can imagine these two parades. What are you going to do? Well, you stop and wait to see what happens next. So they stop. They watch him. And he comes up to this widow whose whole life is wrapped up in her son, who is now dead. And Jesus says to her, "Do not weep." Now, I have had times when I have grieved. Many of you have too. One of the things that is very, very difficult to hear in times like that is someone saying to you, "Don't cry." Don't cry? Are you crazy? How can I not weep at this death? How can I not grieve over this? What is Jesus thinking here? But when Jesus says, "Don't weep," he's not saying it like you and I say it. When Jesus says, "Don't weep," he says, "Don't weep because I am going to change everything for you." He says to the woman, he has compassion on her, and he says, "Don't weep." And then he touches the bier, the coffin. And then he says something to this young man who is dead. He says, "Get up. Young man, I say to you, arise." This is what mom or dad would say to their children if they're running late in the morning. "Arise. Get up." As if the power of your parental words might make these things happen. Sometimes it does, sometimes not so much. But when our Lord says, "Arise," things happen. When the Lord of life calls you from the grave, you answer, even though you are dead. And so this young man who is dead, who has paid the wages of sin with his death, gets up. Now there's two parades that saw something they didn't expect to see. He gets up. And Jesus gives him back to his mother. The great reversal. Everything that they knew, that they thought they knew about life and death, just in an instant has changed. Just like that. And so our Lord does for her. The text says that fear fell upon them. Great fear. I think that's understandable. I think that I would be a little fearful if I saw someone rise from the dead. At the very least, I sure wouldn't understand it. And they say, "A great prophet has arisen among us, and God has visited his people." We would say that as Emmanuel, God with us. You see, dearly beloved, our Lord enters in where no one else will go. He enters in to death itself, goes to the grave, dies for you, for me, for this young man, for us all. He dies and he comes back to life. This is no fairy tale. This is no story that we can tell our children because of a death we don't understand. No, this is wonderful, joyful truth. And because he died, and because he is risen again today, that seed of eternal life planted in you in holy baptism is yours. So that at the last day, when you lie dead in the grave, and our Lord says to you, "Young one, get up. It's time to go." You will rise again. And all of your loved ones, all of those who have died in the faith, and you will go home to be with him, new, refreshed, free from sin, free from death itself. It was a strange and dreadful strife when life and death contended. the victory remained with life. Believe it for Jesus' sake. Amen. And now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in true faith to life everlasting. Amen.